We have been taught, at least most of us, that it is wrong to hate, haven't we? And we can go to the scripture, and there are several scriptures that teach us not to hate, aren't there? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard that it hath been said, love thine enemy and or love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy." See, there we take that passage and we boldly tell our children and others, it is wrong to hate. We turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21. There is a long list of sins that are presented to us, and it is referred to as the works of the flesh. And the 7th sin on that list is hatred. Now the works of the flesh which are manifest are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Here it is, hatred. So we teach, it's wrong to hate. And yet the title of my lesson this morning is this: it's okay to hate some things. That preacher don't know what he's doing, does he? It's okay to hate some things. We're going to be looking at several points, about 5 in this lesson. Point number 1 is this: God commands us to hate some things. Isn't that interesting? You turn to Psalm 97, verse 10, the Bible says this: "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." I don't know about you, I want to love the Lord, don't you? And if you say you do, and if you truly do, then you must abide by this command: "Ye that love the Lord," what? "Hate evil." The Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's an Old Testament passage that most of us are very familiar with in Amos 5, verse 5, and the text says this: "Hate the evil and love the good." My friends, if you love God, if you fear God, then guess what you must do? You must hate evil. Point number 2. God Himself hates some things, doesn't He? And there are numerous passages that talk about the things that God hates. And there is a classic passage found in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, that talks about the 7 things that God hates. Notice what the writer says: "These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him." Not only does He hate them, they are an abomination to Him. That little word abomination means this: they stink in His nostrils. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an evil heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. 7 things the Bible specifically states that God hates. And that's something. Here is a holy God who hates some things in this world. There's an interesting verse that talks about something God hates. In fact, several things God hates. It's found in Psalm 5, verses 5 and 6. And the reason I say it's interesting is because of the wording of the verse. Listen to what he says: "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight." Listen to this: "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Isn't that interesting? The Bible doesn't say that God just hates iniquity. The Bible says He hates the very workers of iniquity. Notice the next verse. The text says, "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." He hates even the man that has bloody hands and lies and deceives individuals. Have you ever heard this statement? Love the sinner, hate the sin. Is that what that verse says? No, that verse says God hates even who? He hates even those who commit the sin. Those who are involved in the sins. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 1 verse 9 about Jesus Christ, and it says this, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." The Son of God loves righteousness, but what does He hate? He hates iniquity. He hates sin. He hates transgressions of the law of God. When Jesus was writing to the church at Pergamos, in Revelation 2 verse 15, He noted that there were some in that congregation who were holding to the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. And He makes an interesting statement about that. Notice, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans," listen to Him, "which thing also I" what? "I hate." Here was a false doctrine. Here was a false teaching. And God says, "I hate that doctrine." Wow. When I was studying for this particular lesson, one man gave a list of categories of things that God hates. We might be here a while. There were six categories that he listed, and I just briefly mentioned them. Notice number one, idolatry. And you can write down the passage, Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. Folks, God hates anything that's connected with idolatry, with man making images with his hands and then men bowing down to those images and then worshiping them in all kinds of perverted ways. God hates those things, the Bible says. Secondly, God hates injustice and oppression. Zechariah 8, verse 17. God is a fair God. God is a just God. And when God looks down from heaven to earth, He wants us practicing justice and fairness and equity within this world. He hates all oppression and all injustice. Another thing that God hates is evil behavior and corruption. We talked about those individuals that He hates. He hates all workers of iniquity, Psalm 5, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says He hates false religion. We mentioned the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's only one of the doctrines that He despises. He hates all false religion. He hates dishonest business practices according to Proverbs 11 verse 1. The Bible there says that those things are an abomination unto Him. He hates a man who has a false balance and goes out into the marketplace and uses that to cheat and swindle individuals. God hates dishonest business dealings. My friends, God hates evil thoughts and evil ways. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Hate. We don't like that word, do we? Don't like that word. So let's talk for a moment about the definition of hate. I think it'd be good to know that, wouldn't we? The Bible tells us to hate. God hates. Jesus hates some things. What does it mean to hate? I looked up the definition of the word, Strong, Thayer, Vines, dictionary.com, and all of them began with the same word, hate. Isn't that something? Hate means what? It means hate. Have you ever heard this statement? It means what it says. It says what it means. We know what it means to hate, don't we? We know when someone hates us. We know when we feel hatred rising up in our hearts toward another individual. We know what that is. But there's other words for it. Enmity, animosity, rancor, ill will, a feeling of hostility. Now think about that. God says, "I want you to hate the evil. I want you to have a feeling of hostility against evil. I want you to have ill will toward evil. I want you to have rancor and animosity toward those things that are evil." You want to know the best definition of hatred? The opposite of love. Best definition. Hatred is on the very other end, folks, from love. Now think about that. I am to hate evil. What does that mean? I am not to have 1 ounce, not 1 smidgen of love for anything that is evil. It means exactly what it says, hate it. Folks, when the word hatred is used in the Bible, it is a strong word. And what God is telling us is this: I need you as my people to detest as deeply as you possibly can every evil that is in this world. Now the question that we might ask is this: why? Why? Why do I need to develop such an emotion of hatred toward the bad things, the corrupt things, the vile things that are in this world? Number one, because evil opposes God. That's why. What was it that Jesus said on one occasion? There is none good but one, that is God. Folks, God is all good. There is not 1 ounce of bad, not 1 ounce of wickedness in God whatsoever. We've been studying that on Wednesday night, have we not? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Not the minutest portion of God has any sinful thing in Him. He is absolutely holy. And the smallest amount of evil stands in opposition to that holy God. And my friends, you and I ought to hate it because of that. Notice secondly, evil involves lies. Evil oftentimes involves deception instead of the truth. And guess who is the father and the originator of all lies? John 8:44. Satan himself. You want to love those things? You want to participate in those things? You want to engage in those things? Folks, you are siding yourself with the devil, aren't you? God says, don't do that. Rather than loving them, rather than participating in that, you hate it just as much as you possibly can. How about this one? Evil harms individuals, doesn't it? There has never been one evil in the world that has done humanity any good whatsoever. Oh yes, it might bring a little bit of immediate personal satisfaction. There's a little pleasure in sin for a season, but ultimately evil harms, doesn't it? And why in the world would I want to promote and support anything that brings harm to me or to anyone else? Hate it, folks. Hate it. And lastly, evil will eventually cause men to lose their souls in a devil's hell. And anything that will do that, you and I need to detest, don't we? 4 good reasons as to why you and I need to develop deep within us a spirit of animosity toward those things that are in opposition to God. The last point is the longest. You thought she was about to get out of here, didn't you? There's 3 things that we need to hate. Now, I could have said there are 20 things that we need to hate. I could have said there's 100 things that we need to hate. That'd been a long sermon, wouldn't it? I boil it down to 3. Number 1, folks, we need to hate the evil that resides within us. Before we go out and try to rid evil in the life of another person, before we go out and try to do away with the evil in society, the evil in the world, you want to know where we better start? We better start deep within our own hearts. And you know what that takes? a genuine, honest evaluation of self, doesn't it? The Bible tells us, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? What's God telling us to do? He says, you put yourself on the witness stand. You cross-examine yourself. You give honest answers to those questions. You compare your life to the writings that are found in my word. And where there's evil and where there's corruption, guess what we need to do? We need to eradicate that out of our lives, don't we? Folks, we're absolutely no good to the world if we are like the world. That evil can involve my thoughts. It can involve my agendas. It can involve my words. It can involve my behaviors, can it? I've always wondered why Paul said what he said in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. Question, when did you die to sin? Did you die to sin when you became a Christian? We're supposed to, aren't we? That's part of what repentance is. Dying to sin. Putting away that old man. That's why we went down to the waters of baptism, was it not? To bury that old man of sin. But then all of a sudden, Paul comes along in the book of Colossians, and this is what he says. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. He says, guys, I need you to mortify your members which are upon the earth. What does that little word mortify mean? Put to death. Put to death. You want to know why? Because an old man of sin is constantly trying to resurrect himself in our lives, is he not? He is constantly trying to come back and live within us. That's why we have to every day examine ourselves and put those things to death. He gives some examples of them, doesn't he? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, notice how he ends it. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Folks, if we don't rid ourselves of those things, God's wrath will be poured out upon us. Point number one, what do I need to hate? Anything within my heart, in my life, that is evil, I need to hate it. Point number two, you and I need to develop a hatred for every false way. Every false way. Two times in Psalm 119, David makes that very statement. Notice what he says, Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate what? Every false way. Underline that little word, every. Sometimes we don't get the meaning of everything, do we? Every false way. Leaves none of them out, does it? Just a little bit later in verse 128, listen to what he says. Therefore, I esteem thy precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, what I'm about to say involves what is known as exclusivity. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? But here's the point. My friends, there is only one way of salvation. Just one. You've heard this old statement in our world today. There are many roads to God. No, there ain't. No, there isn't. There is one road to the Almighty God. There is one way of salvation. And it was Jesus Christ who came and brought that way, was it not? In fact, Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. He didn't say I am a way. I am the exclusive and only way. No man cometh unto the Father but what? But by me, he says. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? What I find interesting is after Christianity was established in Acts, the second chapter, guess what those group of individuals who called themselves Christians were known as in the first century? They were known as the Way. the way. Why did they get that name? Why did they get that title? Because they went out through the world and they were telling individuals that this is the only way where? The only way to get to God. When Paul writes about his early days, listen to what he says. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Paul knew what the way was, didn't he? And Paul went out and he was going to do everything he possibly could do to rid himself of the way, to rid the world of the way. And thank God he became a part of what? A part of the way, didn't he? False ways are not the way. Write that down. Go home today, read it again. Memorize it. False ways are not the way, folks. I don't care what they say. Oh yes, there are many false ways out there that present themselves as the way, don't they? However, they lead men into error and they will ultimately lead men to perdition. False ways are not the way. Jesus condemned the Jewish leaders of his day because of their attachment to the tradition of the elders, the traditions of the fathers, didn't he? The Apostle Paul picks up his pen and he writes the book of Galatians, and guess what he does? He condemns those Judaizing teachers who are trying to attach Judaism to Christianity, and he says, you are preaching another gospel. And if you do that, you are accursed. Galatians 1 verses 6 through 9. We've already made mention of the revelation wherein our Lord plainly says, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Folks, those are only three places in Scripture where God stands in opposition to those ways that are false. Note this. We cannot approve of them. We cannot compromise with them. We cannot fellowship with them. We cannot promote them one iota. I must what? I must learn to hate false ways. That's not easy to do, is it? Because all of us know a lot of good people that are in false ways, don't we? How about this third point? I must learn to hate everything my God hates. We've already seen that there are several things that God hates. Go home today and you take that list of seven things in Proverbs 6 and you really look at them. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Folks, these are not just statements. These are things God truly despises and cannot stand. He utterly detests them. And you and I need to hate those things just as much as our God does, shouldn't we? Let's learn what those things are and let's despise them. What was it that Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 verse 1? Be ye therefore followers of God as what? As dear children. Somebody look at you and say, boy, you sure do hate that false way. You bet I do. You want to know why? Because my Father does. That's why. I'm in pretty good company when I side with God, aren't I? Pretty good company. So I was thinking about this lesson, this point really kept coming to mind. It was this: it's just difficult for us to develop a mindset of hatred toward things, isn't it? In our minds, it seems as if it's almost unchristian, doesn't it? And yet it's not, folks. You see, that hatred really doesn't spring from a heart of animosity and hostility in the sense that I want to harm anyone. It really springs from a heart of love, doesn't it? I hate these things because I love God. I hate these things because I love the truth. I hate these things because I love righteousness. Let's close with a passage we mentioned right at the first of this lesson. Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. My friends, there are some things in this world it is okay to hate. If you're in sin this morning, if you're in the clutches of Satan, you ought to despise that. You know that? And the love of God ought to appeal to you and drive you away from that evil. Because you see, if you stay therein, you'll die in a lost condition. Our Lord's told us to hear the gospel, to repent of sins. After believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we're then to confess His name publicly before men and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also rise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Note that. There's no new life, my friends, until after baptism. Have you been immersed into Christ? Won't you do that this morning? Dear Christian, what about you? Do you hate the evil? Do you love the good? Are there things in your life that are evil that you need to eradicate? Can we pray for you? If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.